This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God.
There's a very old song that says, I traded my sins for salvation. I traded my load for relief. The end of the chorus says, and what I got was so much more than I ever had before. I sure got the best of the trade. Could you say amen to that? I'm turning your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I will begin reading at the first verse. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. For which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. My subject is the world without Easter. It's been said that destiny swings on tiny little hinges. And there is no word that is as life-changing as the word if. What if? My own life, and it's easier for me to talk about my life because I know my life better than I know yours. My life is hinged on that little word. What if my father had not told me to get out from under that mobile home and I had laid where I was for another 40 seconds? then it would have been me that died that day and not him. And I would not have met my wife at the altar 40 years ago. There would be a different name on that church sign out there, and somebody else would be standing in this pulpit, and Reagan would not have nearly as good a big daddy as he does now. What if Paul entertained this hypothesis? What if Christ be not risen? Have you ever spent any time thinking about what your world would be without Easter? What kind of world would your world be? Well, Paul enumerates some things that would happen in a world without Easter. Number one, he said, without Easter, your preaching is in vain. I might as well be standing up here this morning quoting, "'Twas the night before Christmas went all through the house." Without Easter, the words of the preacher would have nothing to stand behind it. Our currency is supposed to have the gold in Fort Knox to back it up. Now, in our society, I don't know if that's true. It just seems like they just buy more paper in black and green ink and just print it out and send it to the Chinese. It just appears to me sort of how that works. I wouldn't have a job without Easter. Number two, Paul said, your faith is vain without Easter. That means it's devoid of truth and it is fruitless. The trust you were trying to hold fast to, Sabri, without Easter does not exist. Insecurity, despair, and fear grab you by the throat and squeeze your jugular vein until life ebbs away without Easter. Peter, you better have an escape plan from that prison. Paul, you better hope that the Coast Guard gets to you before that ship goes down. Abraham, you looked for a city whose builder and maker was God, but without Easter, you were just a delusional old man roaming the countryside. Without Easter, when I preach to you about holding on, about not quitting, about having faith, I'm just a fool. And if you believe me, you're a fool also. The third thing Paul said, without Easter, we are false witnesses of God. We have misrepresented Him. We're no more than those paid witnesses that testified against Jesus at His trial. We have perjured ourselves. We need to apologize to the many people that we have extended false hope to. I need to find everybody that's laid in a hospital bed and heard my knock on the door, and I came in and I talked to them about the power of God and His blood and His name and His Spirit. I need to look up every one of those people and apologize to them, because we are false witnesses of Christ without Easter. Paul also said, without Easter, you are yet in your sins. Think about that. We still stand condemned. Every sin that you've ever committed still clings to your never-dying soul. This empty freedom that you seem to enjoy is just an empty shell. You are living under a cloud of delusion. Paul said, if Christ be not risen, you are yet in your sins. This is a world without Easter. I'm going to tell you, I do not want to live in a world without Easter Sunday. The fifth thing Paul said, in a world without Easter, those who died in Christ are perished. You read the story of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter 8. The tremendous defense that he made before his accusers, and it ultimately wound up with them stoning him and biting on him. And he died there that day. Stephen, that was just a waste if there's no Easter. Polycarp was a student of John the Apostle. He stood before the Roman proconsul at the age of 86, where he was urged to denounce Jesus and be set free. And I quote him, 86 years have I served him, and he never did me any injury. How can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? End quote. And he was led to the stake and burned. I want to tell you, without Easter, he would have been better off to renounce his faith in Jesus and live a few more years. This is the world without Easter. Another thing that Paul said, in a world without Easter, there is no hope beyond this life. I think about the night in 1964 when my mother and dad sat in Dr. King's Hospital in Winnsboro next to the bedside of our Aunt Jo. Josephine was her name, but we just called her Aunt Jo. Aunt Jo was petrified wood. She was true blue. Things were pure. The lines were drawn boldly. She was my grandmother's sister. The Bible said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. When Grandma and Aunt Jo got to church, they walked up the steps. When they walked through the door, they began to dance and speak in tongues. Every service, that's the way they entered into the house of the Lord. There is no telling what kind of downline my Aunt Jo has. I mean, I'm still meeting cousins that I didn't know existed. That's in Grandma's and Aunt Jo's downline. She was unconscious. She hadn't moved or said anything in a long time. And Mom and Dad were seated with her in that little hospital. And they began to sing. And in a moment, they heard from her bed, as she began to speak in tongues. And while she was speaking in tongues, she drew her last breath. If there is no Easter, Aunt Jo was just delusional. Suffering and disappointment are ever with us. There's nothing to look forward to. Paul's words in 2 Timothy 4 and 8, when he said, I've fought a good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith, therefore there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not for me only, but all them that love his appearing. I'm telling you what, Paul, that dungeon has gotten to you. You've taken one too many blows to the head in a world without Easter. We hear about earthquakes around the world almost weekly. Sister Mahoney mentioned to me, I believe yesterday or day before, about another seven. I think the paper called it a 7.9, which is a pretty strong earthquake somewhere. There's earthquakes are an oft happening event. But there was another one about, I don't know how many thousand miles from here to the east, 20 centuries ago. It was not as devastating in the extent of physical damages as the one a few years ago in northern Pakistan, where 80,000 people were killed and 50,000 were injured. And it probably only affected a small area. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 2. However, this earthquake measured 10,000 on eternity's Richter scale. And look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Aren't you glad verse 20 made it into the story? Paul told us what our world would be like without Easter, but then he told us that Christ is risen. So now our preaching is not empty. 1 Corinthians 2 and 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I stand before you this morning. I can preach with anointing because Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus told Peter, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Your preaching is not in vain. Let me tell you something else. Since Christ is risen, my faith is not in vain. Because Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. And the angel told Mary in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. My faith still holds, the song said, unto the Christ of Calvary. Why? Because there's an Easter, that's why. Our testimony of him is not false. It is a true witness. Every once in a while, our music team will lead us in that song that says, my God is more than enough. We can testify of him. I've told you often that if someone stands in this pulpit and tells you an outlandish story, and they say, this is what God did, and then they tell us something that's so amazing that the human mind can't grasp it. Rejoice, Because if Jesus didn't do it, he certainly could have done it. I mean, from the very beginning, he made a man without a woman. And then he made a woman without a woman. And that's where it all started. I'm telling you, there is an Easter we celebrated here today. And if it were not true, forgiveness is a lost art. Wholeness is unattainable. Joy is a pipe dream. Comfort cannot be enjoyed. Hope is lost. Peace is unattainable. There are no answers. Your confidence is wasted, and your hope of amended heart is a lost journey. If there is no Easter. He also led us to know that since Christ is risen, we are not in our sins. Psalm 103 in verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." And nobody's ever measured how far it was from east to west. Because if you keep traveling east, eventually you're going to be traveling west. I love what Micah said in chapter 7 and verse 19 of his book. "Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." And I like what the African-American preacher said. "God threw all of my sins into the sea and then stuck up a sign what says no fishing." Isaiah 38 and 17 says, "Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. And all of this I have because Christ is risen from the dead." I don't want to live 5 minutes in a world without Easter. Let me tell you something else. Since Christ is risen, it is not over for the dead in Christ. The scripture that is on my mother's tombstone says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." That's 1 Corinthians 15:19. I've preached a lot of funerals since I've been in Moss Bluff. I'm going to tell you, I got a great congregation in the graves of cemeteries around here. But I'm at peace with that. I didn't walk away hurt, wondering, ashamed, or afraid. As I preached the funerals of people like Raymond McFarlane, Ruby Frugie, Henry Winburn, Edith Nixon, Viola Dice, Dorothy Parker, Roy Gillis, Alberta Hook, Verda Gibson, Verda Busby, Albert Hebert, Calvin Welch, Ethel Franklin, Dorothy Richard, Viola Sanders, Geraldine Harrison, Nettie McDaniel, Barbara Franklin, Irvin and Merle Richard, Timothy Creel, Isabel Johnson, Alice Savant, Hazel Green, Ethel Langley, Ollie Griffin. That's a pretty good church, folks. Duty A. Bear, Sheila Richard, James Granger, Lily Myers, Ruth Vanover, Bobby Marson, Royce Landry, Claudie Willis, Opal A. Bear, Nelda Hollingshead, Pat Franklin, Janice Granger. I'll tell you, I could take that congregation right now and storm hell with one straw in my hand. Praise God. It's not over for those folks. And since Christ is risen, there is hope beyond this life. On the southern tip of Africa, where the Atlantic and Indian Oceans meet, is a place of tumultuous waters, very dangerous. Early in the 15th century, it was named the Cape of Storms because it was so scary to travelers as they rounded the tip, either going east or west, the tip of Africa. It was a violent place. And many people lost their lives there. In 1497, Vasco da Gama sailed around the Cape of Storms and returned to Calcutta. And about that time, they changed the name from the Cape of Storms to the Cape of Good Hope. What could turn the Cape of Storms into the Cape of Good Hope? Somebody had gone around and returned. That is why Paul said later in this chapter that I've read from today, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Because in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. In other words, he said, since I went around and came back, then you're going to know what a resurrection is all about. There was a woman who was aboard a ship in the Northern Atlantic. The ship was sinking. I don't know what had happened, but it had met with duress. It was sinking. People were, of course, running, frantic, screaming. The staff was trying to get lifeboats in position. And she was sitting calmly in a chair on the deck. Someone asked her, how can you sit so calmly in this circumstance? And she said, I have two daughters. One lives in New York, and one lives in heaven. And it really doesn't matter to me which one I see first. That would not be possible without Easter. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. And then one day, I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory. And I'll know He reigns. I don't think you want to live in a world without Easter. Christmas is nothing without Easter. The cross is nothing without Easter. What he did here could not be done by anyone else. And what he did on that first Easter Sunday morning could be done by nobody else. These faces, I look here, I see Hannah Thomas, I see Brian Thompson, I see Lori Stevens and Glenda Hodges, I see Kathy Thomas, Cindy Creel and Abby Laughlin. I see Dub's picture there. I see Carolyn Heyman, Carolyn Richard, and Eddie Wing, and Anna Phillips. I see Trey Guidry, and Keith Willis, and Sybil Heyman, and Melba Bellamo, Alan Phillips, Roger Creel, and Ryan Bade, and you see Brother Hooper and Brother Albert and Sister Wing and Brother Greg Savon, and you see a lot of people. Without Easter, there just ain't no good news, folks. I said without Easter. Would somebody put that on Facebook? There'll be enough other stuff. Would somebody post, without Easter, there just ain't no good news? Shall we stand together?